Joshua chapter 1 in your Bibles. Joshua chapter 1, and we'll read two verses, verses 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What a wonderful promise in God's word to our hearts this evening. One of the great American myths is that we are a bunch of rugged individualists. We imagine ourselves as a mixture of Patrick Henry and Davy Crockett and John Wayne and the prophet Daniel. One of the greatest fears that we have, though, is being ostracized and rejected and ridiculed. People would rather be safe than right. They would rather be on the right side of everybody else than being right. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in 1978, said this: "Must one point out that from ancient times a decline in courage has been considered the first symptom of the end?" In Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, they are written for our benefit so that that would not happen to us. When conformity to the group takes the place of standing courageously, clarification of Christian values is needed. And that's what we're going to get tonight. We'll get some clarification of Christian values. Two verses of Scripture. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Six thoughts from these two verses. First of all, this truth is for the Christian. "I beseech ye therefore, brethren," Paul is talking to other Christians. Apart from a personal and a vital faith in Jesus Christ, it is impossible to wage a winning war against the system that is called the world. I want you to go with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You've heard me say many, many times that the Apostle John, he was not concerned about being accepted by everyone. He just said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He was not real ecumenical, is what I was trying to say. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The lust of the flesh is the desire to do. The lust of the eye is the desire to have. The pride of life is the desire to be. If you could have all of that, if you could do everything you wanted to do and have everything you wanted to have and be everything that you wanted to be, and you didn't have Jesus Christ, you're the loser. Okay? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Second of all, there is an urgency in this message. Paul didn't say, oh, by the way, if it would be nice if you would consider doing this at some point in your life. He did not say that. Paul said this, I beseech you. That means I beg you, I urge you. He is saying time is important here. Life goes by quickly. You need to do this right now. I've told you before, it was quite a shock to my system when I realized I was too old to die young. And I'm way past that, okay? Third, this urgency is related to a sacrifice. The process of commitment is a holy sacrifice. Sacrifice involves pain. It involves cost. It involves time. Let me tell you something. When we were building this building, we met many, many times, and it was all about what would you be willing to sacrifice so we could build this building. And you stepped forward, and people sacrificed. They gave money that they had set aside for retirement. And then for the next 3 years, there were people in our church that could not go out and eat because they had promised that they would give this amount of money above their tithes and missions so that we could build this building. Sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen, involves pain and cost and time. It is giving something that is important to you. But you did it. And this is the end result that we have, and you know very well, everything that we have here is paid for. We are debt free, and that's a good place for us to be. It's a good testimony. It's a testimony to you and to your heart and to your sacrifice. Our sacrifice is not only a holy sacrifice, but it is a living sacrifice. One of the major problems of a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. And you understand that. All of us do. But our bodies is to be a living sacrifice. Okay? Fourth, the sacrifice touches two realms. First of all, there's the outward realm. That's the body. And then the inward realm is to present that body. To present is an act of our will. It involves our mind, our soul, and our spirit. Fifth, the sacrifice is not unreasonable. God gave us His Son in a body to redeem us. He shed His blood for us. He sacrificed Himself for us. And it's not unreasonable what He has asked us to do. We need to give ourselves back to Him. And it's something that we need to do every day. Daily we are to do that. I want you to go with me to Philippians chapter 1, first of all. the book of Philippians. As I was studying for this, I remembered something. The first time I ever heard David A. Cavan preach at High Street Baptist Church in Springfield, he preached a message out of the book of Philippians, and it involved the words fellowship. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He talks about the fellowship in the gospel. And all ladies and gentlemen, when we come to this place, there ought to be a sweet fellowship involving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now turn the page. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Another fellowship is spoken of here. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Talking about the fellowship of the Spirit. God's Holy Spirit, when we come to this place, goes through this congregation and he speaks to our heart and he changes us and he makes us more like God the Son. Right. And then in chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, Paul says this in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The fellowship of his sufferings. I don't understand it altogether, but I know this. When we give ourself and there is suffering involved from outside sources on us, we have a closer fellowship with God the Son because we're going through some of the things that he went through. The fellowship of his sufferings. And that involves our body, our soul, and our spirit. Sixth, the sacrifice leads to a practical and a radical decision. Do not be conformed to the world. That's a practical decision. And then he says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is a radical decision, to be transformed. The word transformed in the Greek is the word metamorpho, from which we get the word metamorphosis, to be changed completely. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's true for everyone who has been saved, folks. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Here's what needs to pass away in your life. If you're going to be that living sacrifice, you have to deny some of these things. All of these things, in fact. First of all, the love of money. The love of money, we understand from Scripture, is the root of all evil. And you counteract that by your contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And you do away with the love of money when you are contented with what God has done for you. Second of all, fame or popularity. All the glory ought to go to God. He's the one that is worthy of all the glory. The celebrity mindset is, look at me. Look at all that I have. Look at all that I do. And when you want to draw attention to yourself, ladies and gentlemen, that is perfectly pathetic before a holy God. Okay. Third is power. Inherent in power is the desire to manipulate, to maintain control over people. Moses was 40 years old when God took him to the backside of the desert. He had to learn some things. He just came out of being one of the most important people in Egypt at that time. And God has to teach him some things on the backside of the desert for 40 years. And here's what Moses learned. First of all, he learned to work in obscurity. Out there, there were just a few people. He came from Egypt where he was something. He learned to work in obscurity. Second of all, he learned to trust God for everything. One of the sweetest things that we have learned in our life is that we can trust God with whatever is going on. And then third, he learned to have a servant's heart. I tell you what, the man that left Egypt and the man that he was 40 years after that when God took him back to Egypt, two different people. He had a servant's heart. And I tell you what, if we learn anything, ladies and gentlemen, at this church, we need to learn to have a servant's heart. Okay? Serve one another. And then pleasure. You counteract pleasure simply by working hard. Tom Malone, who pastored Emmanuel Baptist Church in Pontiac, Michigan for many, many years, and was one of the greatest preachers I ever heard preach. What a wonderful man he was. He made this statement. You cannot deposit your child into a world system with no information and little help and no technique on how to handle it. Your child will look like, think like, and sound like, and worst of all, will act like that system. We can't do that to our kids and our grandkids. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, the Bible says, be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good manners. We have to be very, very careful with our kids about depositing them in the world system. So here's what we have to do, folks. First of all, we have to say, I am responsible. Second of all, I am accountable. Not only responsible, but I am accountable to a holy God. And third, I get my standards and security from God. And we all need to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for loving us. Father, we love you. And we are so thankful for all that you've done for us. We're thankful for this place. We're thankful that we can come and pray one for another. Thank you for these dear people. Thank you for the sweet love that they have for other folks and the prayers that they give. Dear Father, thank you for the ones who have come up to me and said, oh, I'm praying for Tina. Oh, Father, bless them. Bless Tina. Help her, dear Father. We thank you for this time together. Thank you for these dear folks. In Jesus' name.